Great. That's Trent. Hey, welcome.
Thank you. I think Tyler should be dialing in too.
Oh yeah, I'm on.
Tyler, right. How are you? Yeah.
Okay. Tim's got a call.
Okay.
So she'll dial in next week.
Okay.
She was out last week and she's back in trying to catch up here today. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good.
Busy day. My last call, 6 calls today. It's a busy week. a busy day. I know it's just a day, but it feels like a week.
Oh, you said you picked up a lot of new engagements from a presentation you'd made at a firm.
Yeah, it's more than
some raving fans that stood up and gave you endorsements there.
Yeah, it's been really nice, you know, and I get nice emails, and I mean, they're really helping, and I love that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's very nice.
Yeah, we've been having some good success. I may have mentioned we got all the paperwork signed. We got about a $2.3 million relationship coming in.
Oh, great.
And, and this was a direct... This was a tag-along referral from another center of influence, a guy that we'd gotten through civic involvement about 6 years ago, and then he brought on the nonprofit that's now about a $4 million account 2 years ago, and then this is the CEO of the nonprofit. Center of influence is the chairman of the board of directors. And so we met him as a referral. He called him and mentioned just how happy he was with what we'd done. And our center of influence, our original contact there, had historically changed advisors every 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
And he's been with us 6 years now and very happy and inviting people to our events and then sent Tony our way. So that was a good success story.
Good. Which charity is it?
It's called TCM, and they actually have a divinity school in Europe. They got their start, which is pretty interesting. They used to sneak Bibles into East Germany in the trunk of a car, like in the 1970s. They were smuggling Bibles into the Eastern Bloc. So their history is as a covert operation, basically. But then they ended up moving to Indianapolis. And then they ended up with a big facility in Austria. And now they are the only educational institution accredited that operates outside of the United States by the North Central Accreditation Society.
Wow.
That was pretty rare. But it's evidently a big status in Europe, especially Eastern Europe, is to have an advanced degree, like a master's or a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
So they train people in theology, and then they go back with these degrees, and they'll build up churches or do things back in a lot of places where they still are operating undercover. And a lot of the Stans, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, Kazakhstan.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting organization. So Tony actually spends 6 months of the year in Austria, our client.
Wow.
And one thing, his wife attended, and that was a major boost, and that's something that we picked up from the overtime, is working with both spouses, working with both people in the household. And the monthly contact is what really got her. Everything else was great, but just the fact that we call him every month and talk about things. And then it was the other, it was a lot like Larian, where I think you just simply asked the question of what's Ned going to do if something happens to you? And that's what got this gentleman as well, is he's really concerned. There are our advisors in Minnesota, and something happens to him with him having so much travel, especially going to some dangerous places. If he does, he wanted to be local. And another thing that helped was the female representation on the team. that we're not just a bunch of guys, then he knows he can depend on us to have good balanced input. And going back to that Nancy Boots story and how much Kim helped her. Harriet Mendham was another case where Kim really helped her work through a lot of things with the Merrill benefits.
It's really important.
It's
a big deal.
Yeah, so it's working. All the things we've adopted from working with you are working. Of having a well-balanced team, having a 12-4-2, building the centers of influence. I've actually reached out to a couple of centers of influence off of our list, but haven't gotten anything scheduled yet. But it has led to much more intentionality on my part of just viewing this list. We had our team meeting this morning, so viewing the list. We have one document that we put everything related to our team plan on, one team planning document, our team goals document.
Yep.
So we have our centers of influence on a page that Tyler created there, along with our other, our marketing processes, our list of clients that are willing to give a referral. We've got a list of people who are promoters of our team. And that's helped us be more intentional. And that hasn't borne fruit yet, but it will. Now it's just a matter of building. We're getting on the treadmill for the first time.
That's great.
We haven't lost any weight yet, but we're at least getting on the treadmill. So I got a lot out of the video. They're all good, but this was a really good one on that. Just had kind of lost track of the old Covey paradigm, urgent, not urgent, important, not important.
Mm-hmm. that's a little wake-up call sometimes for us.
Yeah. So it's the tyranny of the urgent, of things that are urgent but not important. And that tends to be what is easy to do, so we gravitate toward those when we've got a really hard call to make, or all the prospecting calls are hard calls to make. So the not urgent, or the urgent, not important things is what we naturally go to first when we should be attacking the non-urgent, important. So that was a really good item that I picked up out of there. The agenda, too, is sending that out in advance. That's something we got to start doing more diligently as a team. We do it with some of our clients. So just total confession time. I'd like to say we do it with all of our clients, but we don't, unfortunately. And that's something that we've had in front of us. We just have not taken the time or the capacity to make that a priority, to do it when we confirm the calls. And right now we've got a system where everything is done a week ahead. We confirm, or we look at the schedule for the next week. And which ones do we need to confirm? Which ones have agendas, which ones CRCs, which ones will have outlooks. And my thought is to just make it a standard that every quarterly review has an agenda. If it's on the quarter, if it's a monthly check-in, that would go more toward the 24-month calendar and the list of topics that we're developing. But on any time that we're having a quarterly review, just have an agenda and a wealth outlook and a CRC, or the review, I should say. The client review center review.
I just read an article. I don't know if I shared it with you guys, but MIT did a study on client satisfaction. And there were three things that they asked them what they liked about their advisors, and then they asked them what they hated. And it was one of the most interesting responses I'd ever seen. Well, it was, you know, my FA doesn't listen to me. My FA doesn't communicate with me. Those are the first two.
Huh.
The third one was, even though he sends out an agenda, he never asks for my input. And that really irks me.
That's a great point.
So, Rob, were you able to find that article? I think I mentioned that to you last time after Trent had to jump off the call, but you were able to actually find that published article?
No, you were the one that actually gave it to me?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I've been telling people about it, but I didn't find the article. So where would I find the article?
I don't know. You know, I'll have to I heard about it from a wholesaler that came in, and they said that they got it from an advisor that paid like $5,000 for this research that MIT put together over a ton of years. And so I don't know if they have published it or what, but that was like basically the bulk of the findings.
Yeah, that was the one that threw me off, because I knew the fact that that was the three things, right? They don't listen to me, communications, they don't call me, and then they don't ask for my input on the agenda. Is that capture that right?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't ask for their input, and they don't send it out beforehand, yep.
Right, they don't send it out beforehand, so I'm surprised by it, and then I don't get any input. Mm. So I'm sort of like a little kid sitting there, you know, rather than... You know, you wouldn't treat a board of directors that way. You send them, you send them the minutes from the previous meeting, ask for their input for the new meeting. Everybody does their job in their committees, and then they report, right? Well, you know, here is this guy is the CEO, and he has no opportunity to, you know, you're the CFO, and he has no opportunity to, you know, put something on the agenda that he wants to talk about. Now, it won't stop most people. They'll just talk, right? But I just think that it's a courtesy thing, and if it irritates people that much, so definitely we don't want to turn a positive into a negative.
Right.
It's like not talking to the wife or not looking at the wife enough.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta do that.
The other thing interesting from that research, too, is that they said most of the time clients will answer questions with three things.
Oh, yeah. That was
the first two are just basic, like, oh, they don't listen to me. Oh, they don't call me enough. But usually if they list three things, it's the third one that's actually the most important to them.
That's right.
So kind of psychology, I guess.
I think I was teaching that, the three asking threes, and you said, oh, that's right. There was this MIT study. Right.
Yep.
It's all coming back. That's great. That was very helpful.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find it either, but if I stumble across it, I'll definitely shoot it your way.
Thanks.
Yeah, so we've gotten, just since we began this engagement earlier in the year, we've definitely gotten more organized, and Tyler's come on and really become an effective member of the team, offering not just the prospecting, but just broad-based support for the team. And I think that's been another wake-up call for us, of just trying to build the talent level on the team and continuing to bring on good people to grow. So that's another item for Kim and I that we've gotten some of the light bulb that's gone off since we began speaking on this early in the year.
Did I ask you about Mike Razor?
Yes. I tried to connect with him on LinkedIn, but he did not reply. Yeah, and he's connected to Rich Searles and a couple of other Merrill advisors. Yeah. And he actually viewed my profile, but he did not reply back.
That was my, he was Tom Bach's center of influence.
Right.
Right. He was the one that really probably contributed more to Tom's practice than anybody else.
Yep, Alan Henderson. Yeah, so he's pending. I've tried to connect with him, but have not had success yet. And then I was able to connect. Actually, I got referred to an attorney of a client. I may have mentioned that last Monday, where they had really good success with their attorney. So we are going to get together, but he just said to wait until through April. Get through April and get back with him in May. So we're making some contact on that. We've actually got a meeting. Oh, go ahead.
The enthusiastically endorsed this, right?
Yes.
Building that.
Yep. And then meeting with him. Yeah, so we're building that, integrating that into our team planning document. We've actually got a meeting tomorrow that is to implement the wealth transfer. And I heard an interesting point of referring to it as wealth transfer rather than estate planning, as far as a word comes across better to people. And
okay.
But this is a process. It's interesting in this case that we are driving the process, and we know the children better than the attorney does. And it's multi-generational, this classic case of we have accounts with the children. When they started with us, they had $50,000, and now they've inherited trust over time. So both of the children are over $2 million now.
Right.
And one of them doing great, and one of them not doing great. We know the situation, and we've been driving the process with the attorney because the attorney, we're convinced that he didn't even update it the last time we met, didn't make the changes in the document that the client requested the last time. He claims he did, but we can't find him anywhere. So that's another thing of just Kim's organizational ability and her tenacious follow-up that she has, is that she's actually driving the process of getting the attorney to do what the client said to do. And we pinned him down on a date and said, okay, when are we going to get together again to sign everything? We thought it'd be 2 months, and he committed to having it done in 2 weeks, so we're having a meeting tomorrow with him. And he's definitely not an enthusiastically endorsed advisor, this guy.
Who is, what firm is he with?
He was with Baker & Daniels, and he worked with Bob Elger. And I guess Bob Elger was notorious for that, too, of taking forever, not doing things right.
Sad.
Oh, it is. Did I guess they just get too much business and they don't reply? They wouldn't reply to our emails. So that's a case where we tried to actually refer the client to one of our enthusiastically endorsed. We've got a great person with Ice Miller, Christine Buachi, and she does an excellent job. And she's very organized. She's very good at follow-up. She's a great communicator. But just the loyalty this client has to this advisor, to this attorney who doesn't get things done on a timely basis.
So, Tyler, do you have your own list of enthusiastically endorsed people?
Yeah, I do. It's obviously building out as new people come in, but that's definitely something I've adopted, and especially when I adopt the goal map that they use. You know, that's part of it, of you know, CPAs and attorneys and doctors. Yeah. So it's building out. It's not as full as I'd like it to be, but we're getting there. And it's been useful. I mean, one of my bigger clients asked for a good estate planning attorney and was able to shoot him over to somebody that another client endorses. So it's always good to have those in place.
Who was that that you used?
On the estate planning side?
Yeah.
Gosh, dang it. She's right up the road. I could drive straight to her office. She runs her own firm.
That's it. That's helpful.
It'll come to me.
Yeah. All right. So my suggestion is that you meet with her on a monthly basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if you like her and you think she's decent.
Yeah.
Just have a couple of problems. And she's right up the road, so have a cup of coffee with her monthly. Okay?
Yeah.
And try and bring an introduction with you when you meet. That will encourage her behavior.
Fair enough.
You could even bring the person with you and introduce them in person, which would be very effective.
Yeah. And you've had some good success with that trial run, right, Tyler, since we spoke of that a couple of weeks ago with Rob?
Yeah, I mean, well,
meet with a prospect, and if they're on the fence or they say they're going to sign the documents, just get them on a call rotation.
Yeah, exactly. Get them on a call rotation and at least get, like, a client relationship agreement open. So even if we're not going to fund the accounts after that, get the account open. And I think at that point, it's a little bit like, you know, when an advisor leaves, get them to do something. And then feel tied in. And so I think that's worked so far. I guess time will tell, but I feel good about it.
So it actually hasn't brought somebody in that you feel good that the process is working.
Yeah, I mean, well, we had the accounts open. They were fine with signing the docs and everything. And I think if something will land, it's just, you know, they weren't comfortable then. So we said, well, I'll tell you what, whenever you're comfortable, it takes a couple weeks to transition anyways. So why don't we go ahead and get everything open? Should you decide, it'll be ready to receive it. And then they can online, they can, you know, I'm looping them into the online stuff so they can see kind of our tech capabilities and get them on the call rotation, all that. So,
good.
Pretty confident.
Good.
We had a really good meeting 2 weeks ago as well with a guy that Tyler, you cold called, Mr. Mervis, is that right, Tyler?
Yeah.
$25 million prospect, and he's working with UPS, UDS and Morgan Stanley right now, and he's not unhappy. And as we went along in the meeting, it was as if he was talking himself more and more into following up with and working with us. I mentioned, well, do you have, it looks like from the team picture, you have women on the team. Or my wife would really like to have a female advisor. Our advisors are in Chicago. We'd really like to have a local advisor. So we went from the very beginning of the meeting of I'm not interested. I've got two great advisors. And by the end of the meeting, well, keep in touch with me over the next 6 months. We'd like to see more about the investment discipline. And I think it really helped in that meeting that we actually had a separate investment discipline, a proprietary model that we're running.
Yep.
And that is a competitive advantage that definitely makes us stand out. And that's, again, another thing we picked up from you, Rob, of having something that differentiates us, of running the, flying the plane ourselves, essentially, rather than just having a bunch of managers out there and having the allocation models that everybody, every insurance agent and small shop bank advisor can use the allocation models these days, but not everyone. It's like good cooking. People, it's the lost art of managing the money.
Right.
That was another encouraging point that we've had.
So did you try the 90-day free look from him?
That was the week before you gave us the idea, the week before we thought, I believe. That was what I think that we were talking about the way back to the office of how do we get these things closed? We've got so many things out there, and we've got people who say they're going to sign it, but how do we do it? And that's when we mentioned it to you, and so since then we have been adopting that.
Did I go back to him and send him, you know, overnight one of the folders with a letter and say, you know, if you choose to be a client, this will be your folder. You'd like to schedule 1242, so I'll be calling you regarding that and set up the appointment. And that way, you know, you become important to him rather than, oh, I can't remember their names. There's some nice people from Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think he was also, and we might be able to do that next time we get together, but I think he was, it sounds like his wife is kind of the one that makes all the decisions there anyways. And so she would want to get meet us and everything, and so that might be a good time to do that next time we get together.
Yeah,
that sounds really good. Sounds like if she's a decision maker and she'd like a woman, and she'd like a local woman, you may need the papers there when you meet with her, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And smart guy. That's what was interesting, is we love dealing with smart clients that actually can give us ideas sometimes, or they challenge our ideas, and they definitely help us sharpen our skills. And I think he'll be another client like that once we bring him on board.
That's great. That's great. It sounds really good. Okay. So what about the 24-month calendar? How do you see that working with your process?
I think it'll work great, and that's it, but we just have to develop it. And the calendar, now you have a map of it within your packet, I believe, of a sample one.
Yeah, I just give you a 20. I just made one up of 20. Yeah. Like people said, do you have one? Do you have one? Do you have one? I said, okay, it's in the workbook.
Yeah.
So it's in the second page of chapter 6. So basically it's
chapter 6.
The idea is that you some things are going to be calendar-driven, like required minimum distributions and things like that, but other things are going to be driven by you guys. They can never come up, or they can come up whenever, you know, you have time for them. But, and so I just randomly, so over a 24-month period, you can add, I added 8 new products or services. And then each one of those lasts for 2 months. The idea being that you're, if you introduce mortgages
to give yourself another month to implement the mortgages. By the way, I would not introduce mortgages. What I'd introduce is liability management or something, some clever title, which said, you know, that you can educate a person on what's available, what they have, and how to help the kids, help them, help everybody to, you know, not pay any more than they have to for debt and borrowing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, our family is a perfect example of that, Trent. I mean, had we not known about lines of credit or been aware of that, the rates and all that, we wouldn't have ever done that. We'd have gone through the hell of mortgages.
Right. Yeah, I started brainstorming on that and using some of yours. One of them, going back to that important, not urgent, and something we've intended to attack for a year and a half now is long-term care. And just get caught up in other conversations and don't attack it. And that is something that it would be at the very front of the list. And that could be a good, those summer months are usually lighter in the markets, that would be a good time to revisit long-term care. The required distributions usually come up in October, and we generate those. Tax loss selling in November, work on lending and liabilities, and we just have to work out where the lulls are in the calendar. The lending and liabilities could be in the spring. Tax planning is always a hot topic around tax time, but in January, funding retirement accounts and taking RMDs would be a great topic. And then also on tax minimization strategies, that could be a good thing to do in May after they paid their taxes, or in April. Is there anything we can do for tax minimization, lending and liabilities, charitable giving, and children's gifting? Charitable giving would be good in December. The RMDs can go directly to charities now. Or would you recommend doing it earlier in the year rather than waiting till December?
I think for people like me, it should be something you talk about quarterly.
Every quarter. Hmm. And then what do you think is a good season for children's gifting? Or for other giving?
Oh, you do that right away.
Early in the year?
January.
Yeah, and I wrote down on your video, Rob, from I think it was last week maybe, you kind of went through what you would recommend for dates and everything for most things. And I've got a note right here next to my desk. Trent, you've almost nailed exactly whenever Rob mentioned everything as well, so it's kind of funny.
Ah, it's probably from memory from listening to it.
Yeah, you guys are on the same wavelength.
Yeah. Plagiarizing Rob's work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, April, the tax questions. What led us to that, though, is that Tyler actually made his first solo call to one of our clients this morning. We've turned over, I believe it is 10 accounts. Is that right? 10 to 12 households?
Yes, that's all right.
And we want to hand those off very delicately, but this is a person who's very easy to work with. They're a B. They're a tertiary relationship from one of our large relationships. So they're a quarterly call. What is it, around 600,000 in their household?
You're almost right on it. Yep.
And very conservative. But I teed it up with her the last time I did a quarterly call of Tyler's joined our team and he's going to be calling you next time. And with her, it went very well. And that's what would be great for that 24-month calendar are a lot of calls like that where everything is pretty well set up. They're low maintenance. They're comfortable with the discipline and the strategies. Hitting them with that quarterly topic would be very helpful for Tyler.
Yeah.
And I think it's very good for you guys in marketing yourself. Mm-hmm. That the idea is that you have an educational component to the process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 24-month calendar. Here it is. These are the topics. So you're kind of holding classes almost. customized for each person, but you're really educating people on those issues. You know, reviewing beneficiaries. It just brings up topics that are interesting, you know, for you. When you talk about liability, you ask about all the liability in their family. So who owes what in your family? I mean, is there a better way to manage that debt than the way it's being done today? More cost efficient for you guys. So you're being an advocate for them to save the money.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really thinking for them. But you're bringing tools to bear that they just didn't know were available. You know?
Oh, well, that's a great point, because we had a review, a call with a client. He's actually an NFL coach, so a lot of times we can't reach him during the season. He's just booked up, so we'll leave him messages, but we got a hold of him. He had a little bit of a lull before the draft combine. He just signed up. He coaches for the Raiders and just bought a home in Vegas. Didn't realize we did mortgages. So he was going to go to Wells Fargo, and Wells Fargo was going to demand that he open a brokerage account. And if we had not had the scheduled call, that would have all happened without us even knowing about it, without us knowing that he was going through that process, and without him knowing that we can provide mortgages.
Yep. And that by sending out that calendar, you would tell people that this is what we do.
So when do you send the calendar? What's the best practice on how you present that to clients?
I send it out in January.
January of every year.
Yeah, or I send it out now if you make it.
Yeah.
I mean, I send it out whenever it's current or updated.
Yeah, the items that we're going to discuss in the next 24 months.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with sending it more than once.
Right. Yeah, now as we build it would be the best time to send it, as we define it.
So, I think it can be very helpful.
Definitely.
You know, in Chapter 7, which I guess is really where we are, the enthusiastically endorsed list, we talked about that too, being something that can give you tremendous credibility. Did I tell you the story about the gal that was stuck on what she could do to help somebody?
Mm-mm.
She was referred to, she's a private wealth gal, but she'd been calling the CPA and he hadn't been returning her call, but she kept calling and sending stuff, and he was a friend, but no, she had not kept in touch, right? She didn't do the supernova center of influence 1242 model on the CPA. So now she was, and she was trying to set up an appointment with him, and he called her and said, I've got an introduction for you. This person coming from Venezuela, and they have a lot of money. The daughter's moving to Miami. She needs to buy a place. I'm going to start her out, you know, but Dad's going to start her out with $20 million, and it should grow to $200 million. And we want you to manage the money. And she was all excited about it, but she didn't quite know what to do from that point on. I said, you're the perfect example of an enthusiastically endorsed list of people for a high-net-worth client, right? Ultra-high-net-worth client. Dad's worth $1 billion. So what would the daughter need? So we just went through and brainstormed on what the daughter might need. And, you know, she would need a concierge physician, a concierge travel agent. She'd need a decorator for her apartment. She'd need a realtor to help her find the apartment. She has a lawyer. She has a CPA. She'd need a hairdresser. These things are big deals for them. So you want the right person, the perfect person for a billionaire,
in each one of these areas. Now, think about each person being the best of the best, right? In Miami, for a billionaire's daughter, wouldn't they be incredible centers of influence, each one of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
And the best way to get their attention is to send them business.
Right. So you're gonna have a list, then, of the best of the best for any billionaire that's moving into town. And then think about bringing, and we talked about this, I think, just like you would bring at Christmas time, you bring together your clients, you bring together this enthusiastically endorsed group to meet each other and network. So you could do a second production and bring them together. I think that'd be a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, if I repeat myself, tell me. But I like the idea, and in this case, it came to life, and she's doing it, and she's delighted, and clients are happy, and she's going to, this is a case of a gal that was really stuck, not moving forward at all, and now she's, because she, we just said, have 8 appointments a week, that's it, and she's all. And so she did it. She got on the phone like Tyler and start making the calls, and she's got the appointments, and now she's making something happen. She's got a good brand, but she wasn't out there selling it. So she's now out there selling it, and she gives me credit for it. I didn't do anything but tell her to get off her ass,
That's what it takes. That's leadership.
Well, that's what it takes.
I remember there was a female advisor. It seems like she was from Texas, and that was her basically her whole business model was references of knowing
Her name is Dodie Frost.
Dodie Frost. Yeah, she may have spoke at one of our kickoff meetings at some point.
I remember her telling me that story of the enthusiastically endorsed thing, and I never forgot it.
Oh, yeah. And she would always tell people anything short of having your knocking off your spouse, I can have done within one day. She said, if you want that done, that'll take 3 days.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Her whole business model was basically knowing everybody in town and referring, the cross-reference of helping other people, giving to give.
Jody Rollins, you remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, her thing was creating a mastermind group. So she had a couple of mastermind groups up in Minneapolis, and that's how she made her living, being a financial advisor.
Huh. Yeah, she was in Minneapolis, last I heard.
Yeah, she became a regional director and all that stuff. So she did very well, but she taught me that mastermind years ago. So, you just pick up the best of the best from each different FA, and then you put them all together, and you get the perfect marketing model.
Yeah. Yeah, I summarized, too, from your notes last week. A lot. I'm speaking next Tuesday at that SAS CEO program. And basically, you got to get organized. You got to get these weekly meetings. You got to have accountability. And the way I'm going to frame it is the CAP, communication, accountability, and process. Mm-hmm. You've got to nurture communication among your clients and your team. You've got to develop accountability. I'm even thinking beyond accountability, ownership, where people aren't just accountable for the area, but they own it.
That's really important.
And they set their own goals.
Right. And then use the board. They don't report to you as the leader. They report to the board. They report to themselves.
Yeah.
So you have the scoreboard and you have the game board. And the two of them are the boards that determine how they did, not you.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there's no confrontation between you guys. It's them versus what they said they'd do, which is the board.
Right.
So
So they put their goal up on the board, what they're going to do, and then that next week you have a meeting and everybody goes up and says, did I do it? So they're having conversation with themselves, with their board. But they're bringing it out to light, which is great for them and for you.
Yes.
It's a very serious thing, but most people are not willing to have conversation every week with their teammates.
Mm-hmm.
So they avoid the meetings.
Right.
But nobody wants to have a team meeting, so then they don't have them. I would say 80% of the teams do not have team meetings.
Yeah.
Formal.
And then I love the point you made last week, too, where you asked somebody about their business, like what's going on with your business, and it usually turns into a laundry list of how the company is messing up my business. And that, I think that's a first step as a leader of any business, is basically communicate with yourself and get real. Face the truth, like you know, Jim Lehrer, like their program is, face the truth of the current situation rather than blame storming and looking at other, looking outside, look within, look at the true state of our business, and if our business is in trouble, then it's probably due to lack of good leadership.
Well, it's very interesting. I heard Nick Saban talk this week, and, you know, you think it'd be some magical formula. It's not. It's the same stuff. The difference is that he has 40 people that keep track of his players that hold him accountable to make sure they go to class, that they study, that they show up on time, that they do whatever they're supposed to be doing. 40 different people.
Wow.
Okay? That's how valuable that those players are to him.
You know, he makes like
$7 million a year. He can't go running around chasing down those players. He hires people to do it. So, you know, what can you do to make sure your players, you and your players, are accountable? What's your strategy for accountability?
Yeah, communication. And the meetings, that basically forces it when you've got it on the calendar. It's similar to Supernova. When you've got the client call on the calendar, it forces you to get ready, to prepare, to look at the portfolio. It is, and as I think it's a continuum of freedom versus effectiveness, that a lot of advisors, they want to maintain this freedom that they had in the 1990s. When it was just them and a CA, and they could take off and play golf at lunch, and nobody would ask where they are. And a lot of people still live in that world, that they don't want anyone keeping track of them. They don't want to be accountable themselves to anyone as advisors.
This is a very subtle thing, but very important. So what's the key to the Supernova 12-4-2 process? What's the key to make sure that it works? Or I should say, who is the key?
Well, the key is the person managing the calendar.
That's
whoever
right.
runs the calendar, that they have to have full ownership and a sense of empowerment, that they are the CEO of relationship management, or the vice president of relationship management, rather than just
right.
managing the calendar, quote unquote. This is where it all starts for our team, is the calendar.
Okay, so if you were going to have accountability on the game board and the scoreboard, who would be critically in charge of that?
Business management. I would guess if whoever is in charge of the business management or business development.
Nope. The same person that's in charge of the calendar. It's a calendar item.
Yeah, good point.
It's just another calendar item. It's just another meeting.
Yeah. What have you seen? I know I'm jumping all over the place, but have you seen effective teams bring in just a business manager, business management person?
You don't need it. You just put the sales assistant in charge and make them the business manager.
Yeah.
You've got the best there in the world. Just empower them and tell them what you want them to do.
And what about,
you want a scoreboard? We want a scoreboard. We want a game board. We want a Monday meeting. We want a Friday meeting. You're in charge. Make sure they have.
Good idea.
And while you had a really good list of activities to score points. Did you write all those down last week, Tyler?
I did. Yeah, off the phone.
You've got that list.
Yeah, I do. So they were like board meetings, LinkedIn reach outs. Mm-hmm. You had an extensive list of about 10 things where we could get points from a scoreboard.
Yeah. 90-day test drives, COI meetings, mastermind group meetings, niches with CIO meetings, board meetings, LinkedIn, Ask for Intros, and then VIPSA. And then I think Rob is going to extend on that last one on this call.
ZIPSA.
ZIPSA. Okay, I'll do it quick. The ZIPSA VIPSA. So you ask the question. Remember, we talked about the value question because that's how we came up with the three questions that you, you know, what are the three things that you hate about what we do, or what are the three things that we could improve on? So the first question is, what are the three things that you valued from your experience in working with us this past year? Okay, so that tees you up. And if you want to be legitimate about it, you say, you know, in order to improve our team, we'd love to know, there are three things that you think we could improve on. It would be very helpful.
So that's the I, improve.
So, no, it's important is the second. B,
oh, important.
That's the value question. So once you get the value question out of the way and you've got them on the same side of the table as you, it's sort of, remember we used to use selling skills model, Xerox, you establish the rationale for the call. Well, in this case, you establish the rationale for moving on by creating a putting them on the same side of the team where they're enthusiastically endorsing you. All right, so they're saying, yeah, I love you guys, and this is the three reasons for it. I love you. Okay? So the next is importance, and then the following is permission, VIPSA. The fourth is suggestion. And then the one we added to Bill Case's model is advice. So what you can say, and it goes something like this. What I'd like to do with your permission is something important, and I'd like to take a few minutes. Do you have another 5 or 10 minutes? Yes. Okay. Good. What I'd like to do is do some brainstorming. And what I'd like to, in that brainstorming, what I'd like to have you think about is other people that would value this experience as much as you have. And what I'd like to think of, have you think about, since it's going to be brainstorming and not just, you know, one or two names, I'd like you to think about people in concentric circles. So the first one would be the people in your family, the people that are closest to you, your intimate friends, and people that you value. And then we'd rather expand that circle. The next group of people would be people that you work with, people you know very well, people you go to dinner with, friends, people you play golf with, you know, people you know really well. And then the final circle would be people that you think would be a really good fit for us, but they're not within that intimate circle. They're in a, you know of them, they'd be a good fit, meaning they'd have enough money. If we could get them, it might be a big deal for us. So, okay, so let's start with the people closest to you. Now, sometimes you can do this and you can lay it out and say, what I'd like to do is have you think about this now for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll get back together. Would that be okay? And then you literally have a lunch or something where you do nothing but brainstorm. I have one guy that does that, and that's all he does. And he'll get, you know, anywhere from 6 to 12 names from that.
Wow.
Yeah.
VIPSA. So the value, this is important, get the permission, makes us just make a suggestion and get advice.
And then the advice part is basically, you know, they've got a lot better than I do. How would you suggest that we meet?
Yeah, the smart marketing, the Biederman.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm thinking about approaching people like you. How, if you were me, how would you do it?
Right, exactly. In this case, yeah. you know your brother a lot better than I ever will. How would you suggest that we meet? Well, he's in North Carolina. Well, let's do a conference call then. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's the book, Get More Referrals Now. It's a good read, Tyler, for you. And for, and you can, I did a webinar on this, and I, you know, it's in the book. And it's in the workbook. So, we can practice it some more. You guys can practice it yourself. It's, it takes some work. You can use a shortcut on it a little bit. Not to use the whole thing, but logically speaking, it works.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Just great info every time. I summarize it as notes and send it to the team. So we've got an ongoing email of our calls here.
Oh, good. Okay.
Week by week. And last week, I really liked that one of the, we're the CFO. You're the CEO and we're the CFO.
I think that one's a good one for your speech.
And I really like the virtual private office or virtual family office. I've been using that a lot.
That's great.
In the process. That's
really good.
Yeah. You, all right. I've got a quick question for you, Rob. On the book,
yep.
We run that by management. Is it possible to get a copy of the book or what you have or of that chapter?
Sure. Yeah, of course. That will go to everybody.
Just get that, Cindy. Or get that.
Yep.
They want to get it approved. If we put our names in there, they were hoping to get a copy of that chapter. Would Cindy be able
of
to
course.
Do that? With?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
You can actually reach out to her now and ask her for that.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, thanks, Rob. This is always great.
Okay. Thanks, Trent.
Okay.
Thanks, Father. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rob. Yep. Thanks,
brother. Bye-bye.